We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, and we are in verses 1 through 25 today. And in studying about this, this is, again, these 100 or so converts in Ohio that were converted by these missionaries that went to convert the Lamanites on a mission to the Lamanites and came back and found these Quakers and found these other people that were searchers of truth. And so they've left them to go back. And really, these early converts did not have leadership. And so we're really trying their best to remember what the missionaries had taught them with the few of them that had the Book of Mormon, or even if any of them did, the little bit that was written. And they're really trying to figure things out, but they're so eager to hear the Lord and to have the Spirit. And it is just so awesome to read the counsel of the Lord and to see this and how grateful we are for all that they have taught us. And I just think it is so neat when this, when Joseph Smith says, "Ye are but babes." It's so true. And we are. And we teach our kids from a very early age how to discern when God is answering their prayers, how to discern when they know and feel the Spirit. And that's such an important thing. So I love this section and love Levi Hancock is one of those who was baptized and is questioning. He's seen people have dreams and he's seen people writhe on the floor and say that they're having visions. And he's so confused because he so wants the Spirit. And they even use the example of in the Book of Mormon, you have Alma and Lamoni who pass out and say that they have these visions. And so they really are kind of questioning. And so I love this. And if it's, you start in verse 2, it says, "Behold, verily, I say to you, there are many spirits, which are false spirits, which have gone forth in the earth, deceiving the world." Verse 3, "And also Satan has sought to deceive you, that he might overthrow you." And it's so important that we understand that Satan's goal is the same goal it has been from the beginning, and that is our destruction. It is not for our good. It is to overthrow us. He wanted God's power. He wanted to rule and reign. He did not want anything for us. God wants us to share in all that he has, exaltation, and to be as he is, kingdoms, and to rule with him and reign with him and live with him forever in exaltation, which will take a long time to attain that and to learn and grow to that degree. Satan wants none of that for us. He wanted to rule and reign over us. And so I love this because it really illustrates he has a counterfeit for everything God has, and his goal is the same. There was once upon a time when one of my sons, I call junior high the black hole for boys. I taught in junior high, and it's really, really apparent that for kids, they really are searching for a sense of self. And it was hard to watch. And that is why I picked to be a junior high teacher. I just felt like they so are starving for affection and for love and for a place to go and feel accepted. And I remember this son was really, really having a tough time, and his light was going out, and I could see it. And I knew that he did not feel he was doing good things, and I knew he felt the Lord was not pleased with him, and that's a huge thing. And so I was very inspired one day and said to him, "Who do you think the best person you know is?" And he said, "His little brother." And I said, "He is awesome. He is such a great kid." And I said, "So what do you think Satan thinks when he looks at him? Do you think Satan looks and just says, 'Oh my gosh, he is such a good kid. He does everything he's supposed to do. And there's just no way that I would ever be able to influence him at all. So I'm just not going to even try. I'm just going to leave him alone.'" And he looked at me and just said, "No, I think he thinks I'll work twice as hard." And I said, "Absolute truth." And that's exactly what he thinks about you. So you take that as a compliment and you continue to fight. And what that means is you wake up every day and you repent and you try harder and you don't give up. And I love this scripture in Alma 48:17 that says, "Yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been and were and ever would be like unto Moroni, the very powers of hell would have been shaken forever, and the devil would never have power over the hearts of the children of men." And that isn't because Moroni was born and never struggled and never had temptation. Satan fought against him, but it's because Moroni fought. And I just love that scripture. And so I think it's really important that we teach our kids that that is the goal. And there are two sides and only two sides. And so every day we wake up and decide if we're going to repent and strive to follow Jesus Christ, or if we're going to give up and tell ourselves we're not worth it. And if so, we're listening to the wrong voice. And I love in Joseph Smith's history, again, as he goes into the garden, into the sacred grove to pray, it's so obvious in those verses what Satan sounds like and feels like and what God sounds like and feels like. And that's what this section is all about. And it is a war and it is a battle. And it is worth the fight. But the fight is every day doing family home evening or family scripture study, come follow me, family prayer, making sure we're fasting, making sure we're getting to the temple, making sure we're attending church. It is worth the battle. And that is a battle. I don't know about you, but in our home, it was a battle. And sometimes it felt exhausting. And sometimes I cried. And sometimes I really wanted to give up. And I will never forget the Spirit saying to me, "And who told you it wasn't a war? And who told you it wasn't a battle? It is. And you knew it would be. And you committed to fight. So fight." And our kids are worth the fight and worth the battle. And it's worth teaching repentance. And it's worth teaching the Lord thinks they're worth fighting for. And it's worth teaching what peace feels like and what the Spirit feels like. And that the Lord loves them and thinks the atonement was worth it. So I love this section. Okay, so verse 8, it says, "But the hypocrite shall be detected and shall be cut off either in this life or in the next, even as I will. And woe unto them who are cut off from my church, for the same are overcome of the world. Wherefore, verse 9, let every man beware lest he do that which is not in truth and righteousness before me." And the reason I have that circled is I've been studying in the New Testament, and I'm right at the part where Lazarus is raised, and it said today that there were hypocrites who came. I have written hypocrites. It's the Pharisees and Sadducees. They came, but they came not to learn of Jesus Christ. They came to see Lazarus, and they had set in their mind that they needed to take Jesus and kill him. And it says in John, they also wanted to kill Lazarus because people were following him. And I just think, how can they even say that they are followers of the scriptures and followers of Christ? It's just unbelievable to me that you could see the miracles and not believe this was the Son of God or of God. You could attribute it to Satan, and it really is works of darkness. And so these verses, again, when it talks about Satan, it is not that they just are people who don't believe. It's that they love works of darkness. And it was very apparent in the New Testament reading that. So truly, I don't know, as I have said before, anyone like that. I know people who are giving up. I know people who are lost. I know people who need the truth and what we have. But I don't know people who are seeking Satan. I don't. Thank heavens. But it exists. And that's what it's talking about. They will be cut off because they will choose works of darkness, not because God will say, "I'm done with you." He's never done with us if we repent. Verse 13, wherefore I, the Lord, ask you this question, unto what were you ordained? And I love that. What were we sent to do? What were you foreordained to do? Because all of us here at this time in the gospel were foreordained to come and spread that message, to bring the peace, the fruits of the gospel, the knowledge, the truth, the pairing with God, the covenants, to other people so they have the joy we have. And as I was reading the story of Ammon and coming and fighting the kings, those who came and scattered his flocks, I was so touched as I thought, here's Ammon and his brothers who served this 14-year mission, 14 years, because they so want others to know the light and the truth that they know, because they were once the vilest of sinners and they are one with God and want everyone to have the peace, the forgiveness, the love of God that they have. And it is so touching to me. And that goes right to verse 14, to preach my gospel by the Spirit, even the Comforter, which was sent forth to teach truth. We are sent to gather. That is our job. As President Nelson said, we are part of that team. And that is through missionary work and leading them to what we know is true. And there is nothing greater. Verse 17, verily I say to you, he that is ordained of me and sent forth to preach the word of truth by the Comforter in the Spirit of truth, doth he preach it by the Spirit or some other way? There's only two choices. Verse 18, and if it be by some other way, guess what? It's not of God. And then jump down to 22. Wherefore, he that preacheth by the Spirit and he that receiveth and understand one another are edified and rejoice together. And edified means instructed or improved, and we grow. And then verse 23. And that which doth not edify, which does not teach, which does not instruct our mind, and we do not become lighter, is not of God and is darkness. That which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and the light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. 25, and again, verily I say to you, and I say it, that ye may know the truth, that you may chase darkness from among you. And I loved that at one point talking to a bishop, just crying, saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get these thoughts that come again and again and again to my mind. And he said, you have to learn to train your mind to replace them with good. And all of a sudden, it's like I've said before, you can focus so much on the tree that you don't see the filthy river, like Nephi and Sariah getting to that tree, and Sam. They were so focused on the path and the tree that they didn't even notice the river of filthy water, the mists of darkness, or the great and spacious building. It wasn't until Lehi looked for Laman and Lemuel that he noticed all of that. So we can focus so much, fill our life so much with the good and getting to the tree, that the darkness goes away. And that's the goal. And just recently, my husband and I were watching a program on TV, and I said to him, it's a series on TV that a couple people have recommended. And finally, I said to him last night, I don't think I can watch that anymore. It's not that it's bad. It just doesn't edify. And here's the truth. Things go through my brain. And when I'm asleep at night and I wake up, which I do, I want what goes through my brain to be good, to be light, to be uplifting. And if the last thing in my brain is a television show that does not edify, that does not make me a better person, then it's not worth watching. And I love this scripture because we can fill our life with so much good. There is an abundance of it. And so we need to look for that which makes us happy and light and fills our life with good, and weed away the stuff that doesn't. And I just think, what an incredible blessing. One of the blessings I've loved about COVID is that Hollywood has been shut down. And I do think that is a huge blessing. I also think the divisiveness has really made me weed away a lot of social media. And I think that is a big blessing. So I love these sections. And I would say the encouragement I would give to my family is, what one thing, have them think, what one thing could I weed out of my life that does not edify? And what one thing could I bring in it that adds more light and makes us grow brighter and brighter to the perfect day and gets us to that tree, our focus to that tree? The church is true, and I hope you know how much the Savior loves you.